men, 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 men.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News.
And with that introduction, it must mean Libby Collins is off today. Thank you for joining us on this last Sunday of June. It's 8:07, Dayton Kane filling in for Libby, and we thank you for being part of the show. We are going to start off right away with a little trip that I took down to Kentucky. My wife and I, celebrating our 30th anniversary, went down and hit Louisville and the Bourbon Trail, and while we were there, ran into an interesting side of Louisville that we didn't know about, and therefore I'm bringing on my first guest of the day. Her name is Angelique Stacy. She, on her LinkedIn profile, says is an enthusiastic ambassador of America's most haunted neighborhood. Good morning, Angelique.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. What a great lead-in. Thank you so much, and happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. So many people know Kentucky for the bourbon, right? That's kind of the big thing. But we found out when we were taking your tour, the old Louisville Old Town walking tour, that it is actually, the state is considered one of the most haunted states in the United States.
Yes. They say that there is an anomaly underneath us that has to do with the largest caving system in the world. Underneath us, we have ginormous, if I can say that word, limestone deposits, and a part of them are the largest quartz deposits in the world. Quartz, a lot of folks believe, withholds energy in it, and so the supernatural world believes that it withholds energy of all the people who have lived, left, loved, and died, sometimes tragically, in this area. In fact, we didn't even know about our own anomaly. It was our friends at Haunted Discoveries, a really cool new show that came out and filmed in our area, that let us know that there were ley lines and the cave, and they think that this is why right now we've experienced so much haunting in the area.
So we went on this tour. First of all, the architecture in Louisville is amazing. The houses, I don't even know if you can call them houses. They're like mansions in this neighborhood that we went through. So you took us through, and one of the themes that I noticed was when there's a spirit, it seems like it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? Like there's mourning, there's suffering, there's like they seem to be hanging on for a sad reason, not a happy reason, more often than not.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks believe that tragedy causing a death can kind of stunt a spirit's ascension to heaven. So basically, somebody, if they die and they don't really know they're dead, well, they just might go around about their business. And if they weren't that great of a person in life, they may carry some of those characteristics with them afterwards. We do have some happy haunting. My landlords do get their vacuum cleaners turned on for them by their servants, I guess, that used to live in the house back in the day.
Oh, can I get a ghost to clean my house? That would be amazing.
Right? I mean, I guess my landlords really impressed the spirits that previously lived in their house by just restoring it back to its Victorian glory.
Nice. So what are some signs that people might notice if they do have a spirit near them?
Ooh, some people are sensitive. Sometimes they'll feel like the hair on the back of their necks rise. Sometimes they'll feel like a temperature drop. That's the main one that usually folks who are not even sensitive to ghosts can notice. If you've just got a 20-degree temperature drop for no reason, I've actually seen that happen, it could possibly indicate that there is some sort of a paranormal. Also, it can affect things like your dogs and cats may stare at something at the wall for a little while, and you're like, what's going on over there? And, things that normally, like maybe lights flickering, maybe a few things missing that you know nobody else actually had a hand in. A lot of my neighbors complain about things they normally use and put in one place all the time, end up going missing and found somewhere else.
Yeah, so you kind of live in this neighborhood, right, where a lot of this haunting's happening?
Yeah, I've lived in five different homes or a couple of mansions in the area, and I've had something happen in different degrees at different times. The house where we sat in front of across the street from the murder house on the tour.
Yeah.
When I lived on that third floor, there's a lot I didn't even have time to go into of my own personal experiences living across the street from that house, other than just seeing a ghost through their window.
Right.
We had doors open and close. My husband started hearing voices like that would give him, that would talk to him, and not like I'm going crazy kind of voices, but like, oh, all of a sudden my grandmother is giving me advice. So when I asked those paranormal experts, they had said, you know, maybe something about this is boosting people's abilities here. So I kind of feel like when I'm in this area, I'm a lot more sensitive than I would normally be. So
yeah, I get it.
I'm leaving that to the scientists or, the folks studying this phenomenon. And, yeah, they seem to think that certain folks can boost this activity. And they pointed out I may be one of those folks. I think I just see ghosts, but they kind of think that I have an ability to manifest them. So we want to test this idea further.
All right. So what should people do if they believe they're being haunted?
Well, it'd be kind of nice to find out who it might be. I would take notes, and that's something that the neighbors told my boss, David Domine, the author, is to take notes when these things happen, where they happen, the nature of the disturbances. You might want to do a little research. That's my favorite part, is go to your local historical societies, go to public records. Find out who may have owned your house, who may have passed away in your house, or it could be the land itself. So look into deeds and records.
So we met for our tour at the Filson Historical Society. Are you associated with them?
They are, I could say I'm a member. I'm on their email list.
So how do people get in touch with you then if they want to take their tour when they come to Louisville?
Yes. Our company is called Louisville Historic Tours. And you can find us at LouisvilleHistoricTours.com. We are the original 20-year-old tour company. There is a couple of us out there. So if you want to find me in particular, just look up there, and they have all of our phone numbers and contact information and links where you can try, where you can sign up for our different tours.
Awesome.
We have architectural and history, and we also have scandals, secrets and scandals of old Louisville. David himself has his own Glitter Ball City tour based on the murder house at 1435 South 4th Street.
That story is crazy, by the way.
Crazy. I couldn't believe I moved in the middle of like a total true crime story. I was like, what? I went from watching American Horror Story to watching true crime shows.
Yeah, right.
It was all happening right across the street from me. It was like, it was out of this world.
Angelique, we appreciate you.
That story up.
We appreciate you being on the show this morning. One more time, give the website.
Yes, it is Louisville Historic Tours or Louisville Historic Tours. It's all the correct pronunciation.
Awesome. Well, if you're looking for a good tour guide, Angelique is the one you're looking for. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Have
we
a great
appreciate
Sunday.
It
is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. I am Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins. We'll get a sports update with Jack Grau coming up next, and take a look at that forecast for you as well.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. The Brewers will look for a winning series against the Chicago Cubs today after the Cubs tied the series Saturday. The crew leads the NL Central 49-34. Still no contract for Packers QB Jordan Love. Both Love and the Packers have expressed optimism that a deal will be reached before training camp begins in late July. In the 2023 season, Love performed on a one-year extension. In the final eight games of the season, Love completed 70.2% of his passes, landing 18 touchdowns and one interception. Some Marquette Golden Eagles going pro. Oso Iguodaro was picked at number 40 in the second round of the NBA draft by the Phoenix Suns, and Tyler Kolek was drafted at 34 by the Portland Trail Blazers, but was soon traded to the New York Knicks. And Franklin native and former UW-Milwaukee track runner Natalie Block will compete for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Saturday night, highlights at the semifinals in Oregon, Block came in 24th place in the women's 100-meter hurdles. Finals of the competition scheduled for tonight. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Thank you, Jack. Coming up, we'll take a look at that five-day forecast, and we'll check in with Libby Collins and the Milwaukee Business Journal. It's Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ. Good morning, 8:21. Welcome to Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins. Going to be sunny, cool, low humidity today. Sounds like the perfect Sunday. 69 near the lake, 73 inland. Tonight, mostly clear. Isolated patchy fog down to 55. Monday, mostly sunny. Clouds increasing later in the day. A high of 73. Tuesday, scattered showers and storms. That sounds familiar. High of 80. Wednesday, rain chance early, then partly cloudy. A high of 86. Thursday for the 4th of July, partly cloudy. Slight rain chance. Let's keep it very slight. And a high of 83. 56 in Brookfield, 57 in Madison, 58 in Milwaukee. And it is time to check in with Libby Collins and the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Thanks, Dayton. And we're here with Teddy Nichol from the Milwaukee Business Journal on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline. And Teddy, tell us about these layoffs that Harley announced this week.
So there actually wasn't an official announcement, but we were able to kind of find out through a source that there have been organizational adjustments is what the company confirmed, but we understand it's impacting around 150 employees. We don't know whether it's production or more corporate employees, and we don't know exactly where they are. So unfortunately, we don't have a ton of details to share, but the spokesperson did confirm that they're implementing select organizational adjustments to drive cost productivity. So that's kind of what we have to share right now. The company has more than 2,000 employees locally and more than 6,000 company-wide. So on the whole, it's a small, you know, relatively small number of their employees, or percentage, I should say. But still, 150, you know, is not nothing.
Well, if you're one of the 150, it's a big
deal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right, of course.
Yeah. Well, Harley-Davidson is doing a lot, repurposing its headquarters, and they unveiled a new public park this week as well.
Yeah, so the company has switched to a hybrid and remote workforce. So they've really begun repurposing their historic headquarters in Milwaukee. The CEO is in town this week, and he said they are committed to still keeping their headquarters there, but they are repurposing it. So the first phase of that was creating this park on the former employee parking lot. It's a really stunning design with a circular amphitheater. It is open to the public, which is cool, but that's just the first redevelopment that they're kind of working on. He announced this week as well, their next plans are to create a headquarters for its factory racing team inside that historic headquarters building that is there, and they're also going to be bringing in STEAM education programs to the Harley-Davidson University buildings just near there as well. So a lot of plans to kind of repurpose this building that's not really being used as much now that more people are working remotely.
You know, a lot of people out there taking rides on their motorcycles or their cars, and they want to go to a really nice travel center, and there's somebody special day. What is this Buc-ee's thing? I've not heard of it before, but I know a lot of people are really obsessed with them.
Yeah, it's weirdly, wildly popular. So it's a Texas-based chain of travel centers that they're Texas-sized. So they have this one planned for Wisconsin, which would be the first. It would have 120 gas pumps, 75,000 square foot store. So it's more like a Walmart store. And it has a huge following.
Did you say 120 gas pumps?
Yes. Yes. We are talking a huge travel center. And yeah, it really has a following in the South and in Texas. And this would be the first store in Wisconsin. They announced it last year, and it's just gotten so much excitement from people in Wisconsin who are excited to see what all the hype is about. And I should just add, it's not in the Milwaukee area. It's in Dane County. It'd be just north of Madison in DeForest. But that's the thing about this wildly popular travel center is people travel, you know, people would be expected to travel from Milwaukee just to visit this gas station. So it's gaining a lot of attention across the state. But the news this week is that it is delayed. They were originally going to start construction on it this year, but they are needing to do some work to expand the highway to accommodate the increased traffic that they're expecting from this. It's really like almost a tourist destination. And so because of kind of some complications with the highway improvements and figuring out how to pay for it, it is now delayed. We don't know exactly how long it's delayed, but they're saying it's likely not going to be starting construction this year.
Well, I know a lot of rest stops have sort of that signature food. Do you know what Buc-ee's is?
I do. I'm blanking on the name for it now, but they do have a signature, like a popcorn type of thing, Buc-ee I don't want to misspeak, but it's something like that that we, I'm sure, can share as it gets closer to actually opening.
No, I can't wait to taste it. All right, let's look at 100 East. They want to have the downtown building listed on the National Register of Historic Places. How's this going to help? Because they're converting to apartments. And what is the historical significance of that address?
Yeah, so really interesting story about this building. So the building was built in 1989, so 35 years ago. So you might wonder, you know, how is that historic? And that's the question that they'll have to prove to the state and national and local boards, you know, making this designation. But the reason why the developers want this is because it could help them secure tax credits to pay for the conversion to apartments. So if the building is considered historic, they would be eligible for historic tax credits, and that could really help in terms of raising capital to pay for it. And it's hard to raise capital right now with interest rates and everything, so this could be one strategy. So it's unique in that most historic buildings have to be 50 years or older. This one's only 35 years old. There are examples of exceptions, and so this one they're hoping could be an exception. The historical significance is it's on the site of what was Milwaukee's first skyscraper. So it was built in the 1800s, called the Pabst Building, and that was known as the Milwaukee's first skyscraper. It was torn down, and then 100 East was built. It was kind of built to have a similar architectural style to that building, and it's also kind of considered an example of postmodern architecture in downtown Milwaukee. So there's a lot of history in this, you know, relatively new building that was built in the 80s.
Well, the one thing we know is George Washington never slept there. Let's look at Milwaukee Charter Schools. They've got a new location on the city's south side.
Yes, Carman Schools is planning a new $55 million campus on Milwaukee's south side. It's a charter school, Carman Schools of Science and Technology. They have five campuses, and they've proposed a new one on West Oklahoma Avenue. It's still kind of in the city approval process, so they were just with the Board of Zoning Appeals this week. But if approved, it would be on the six-acre parcel they would purchase from Wheaton Franciscan. And this would be the first school that Carman Schools is actually building from the ground up. So that could be exciting if it is indeed approved.
Well, we're just a couple weeks away. We've been counting down, it seems like forever, for the RNC, and they've announced who's going to be headlining the big RNC welcome party. And who is that, Teddy?
This is country music star Trace Atkins. So this will be a welcome party for guests on July 14th, now just a couple weeks away. It's really coming up fast. The event is called Red, White, and Brew, and it will be for convention delegates and partner organizations and global media. So I guess that means us local media might not be invited, but it will feature, in addition to Trace Atkins' performance, there will be Wisconsin food and drinks welcoming all those visitors to Milwaukee.
Chris, the interesting thing about Trace Atkins, not only is he a phenomenal country singer, but he also won The Apprentice.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah, well, there's another there's another link to the presumed nominee, Donald Trump. All right.
There you go.
Teddy Nykel from the Milwaukee Business Journal. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Libby.
And back to Dave.
Thank you, Libby. Coming up next, we'll check in with Jack Routh at WTMJ Breaking News Center. Good morning, 8:36. It's Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. The saga continues for the Milwaukee Public Schools. The Brewers break out, the brooms, tragedy on the roads in Pewaukee, and more. It's the Week in Review, brought to you by Outdoor Living Unlimited.
What we do here is go back, 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 back.
A hero's welcome in Washington, D.C. for 60 Southeast Wisconsin veterans. One of those vets is Lee Lahargue.
This is really amazing to me. I mean, it's very emotional.
You just might know Lee's guardian.
The kids, the bands, all of that stuff, that those folks, they don't know us, and they came out there to make that special for us. That was cool.
Multiple people that are needing rescue, and they're unsure how many people are still in the water.
A child said to be in life-threatening condition this morning after a boat crash near Reef Point Marina in Racine.
14 people in total were involved in the crash.
The ribbon has been cut at Davidson Park on Milwaukee's near west side.
Juneau Avenue is our home.
A dream 30 years in the making is a reality.
Whoa!
The Florida Panthers have won the Stanley Cup.
Lord Stanley is coming home. Yeah!
Whoa, just take it easy, man.
They did it.
Start the hour with a WTMJ Fleet Farm Storm Team alert. Severe thunderstorm warning is still in effect for Sheboygan County. A separate severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Ozaukee, Milwaukee, Dodge, Washington, and Waukesha counties.
A church in Jefferson County went up in flames last night.
A symbol of the community that's been tested but still remains. Some even calling it an act of God.
It was tough. It was our feast day. So, irony. We soldier on.
Breaking news here this morning from 1265 Lombardi Avenue. It appears the Green Bay Packers have chosen a successor to the longtime president and CEO Mark Murphy.
Ed Policy will take over for Murphy after he retires in July of 2025.
Behind the scenes, Ed Policy has been that guy behind the guy.
Milwaukee Board of School Directors released its final four candidates for the interim superintendent position.
Board VP Jilly Gokagandhi tells Wisconsin's Afternoon News that she was in the dark like the rest of us on how dire the finances were.
The administration kept on giving us assurances that the audit was on track and that we were doing the communication we needed to do to get our state funding.
With a soft liner into center and diving and not making the catch is Hill. It gets behind him and Jackson's off to the races. He's around second. He is sprinting around third. Here comes the throw to the plate. Chario's in there safely. Jackson Chario, a trip around the bases, and we are tied at five.
But I'm not done yet.
Lined into left center field. That's going to get down. Plug the gap. Roll all the way to the wall. Andrew Monasterio flips that helmet high in the air as Adames scores from third, and the Brewers walk off the Rangers. Whoa!
A construction worker got ran over. Possible two patients at this time.
Breaking news regarding a serious crash in Pewaukee. Two people are now confirmed dead.
She was coming eastbound here on Capitol. She saw a truck go airborne.
Multiple suspects on the loose connected to a shooting Wednesday afternoon at a gas station on Milwaukee's southwest side.
Witnesses who live next door telling WTMJ they raced to help the people who were shot, including applying pressure to the wounds of two children struck by gunfire.
With the 23rd pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Milwaukee Bucks select A.J. Johnson.
What's up, Milwaukee fans? It's A.J. Johnson. I'm so excited to get to work, and yeah, it's up.
It's up, I guess. Is that what he said?
I don't know what that means.
I think it's good.
We're live from Georgia, a key battleground state in the race for the White House.
I got my handicap, which when I was vice president, down to a six. And but by the way, I told you before, I'm happy to play golf if you carry your own bag. Think you can do it?
That's the biggest lie, that he's a six handicap of all.
I was an eight handicap.
Yeah.
Eight.
Never.
But I have, you know how many?
I've seen your swing. I know your swing.
What a week, eh?
Don't forget .com. I got .com all over my body.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
There you go. A lot of Brewers highlights in that one. Of course, they're up 6.5 games in first place in the NL Central. The Week in Review, sponsored by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Next, we check in with your 5-day forecast. And should swearing be allowed on terrestrial radio? We'll talk through that. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ. 8:43 on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Going to be sunny, cool, low humidity today. Sounds nice. 69 near the lake, 73 inland. Tonight, mostly clear. Patchy fog down to 55. Monday, mostly sunny. Clouds increasing later in the day tomorrow, a high of 73. Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, 80. Wednesday, rain chance early, then partly cloudy. Humid, high of 86. Thursday for the 4th of July, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain, and a high of 83. 60 in Kenosha, 58 in Port Washington, 58 in Milwaukee. And as we were driving to Kentucky, we realized we had Sirius XM radio on our vehicle. We just got a new vehicle recently. So we were listening to it, and as we were listening, also we're hearing swear words in the music. And the disc jockey comes on, and he's swearing. It was the most bizarre thing. I'm not a swearer. I don't swear. I didn't grow up around it. I was taught not to. I've been in radio for 30 years. You don't swear on the radio. But then my question became, should we be allowed to swear on the radio?
You're darn tootin' we should.
Darn tootin' we should. Well, you know, it's on your apps. You go to the movies, it's in your movies. You go to concerts, they're swearing on stage. You go to the grocery store, and the guy next to you is swearing to his friend. Like, it's everywhere, but it's still not on terrestrial radio, still not on broadcast television. So I put a little poll out at I Am Dayton Kane on X. So far, 100% of people are saying, no, you should not be allowed to swear on the radio. What do you think about that? Why? Why do you think people have... Is this the last bastion of, like, humanity where we are trying to keep our morals?
It might be, and I'm not sure necessarily why that is.
Yeah, because it's free. Is that why? And anybody can access it? I mean...
And let me say, I don't think there's anything wrong with not swearing on the radio.
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem. I don't need to swear. I was just curious when I heard it. It was so foreign to me to hear it coming out of my radio in my vehicle that it took me by surprise. I'm like, whoa, did they just say that? Because for years and years, you didn't have that satellite radio, so you never would hear swearing on the radio. So it was just bizarre.
When I started in radio in college, I didn't know about the concept of safe harbor hours. So my music show was after 10 p.m., but still, anytime a swear word would come up in one of the songs that I played, I panicked a little bit.
You cringe.
And I found out my second semester of my senior year that I really didn't actually have to worry at all, because technically it was fine.
There you go. All right, just popped into my head, thought we'd discuss it a little bit. If you have opinions, go to X. It's I Am Dayton Kane is where you can find me. Coming up, we'll check in with sports and Jack Rowell one more time and get your forecast. We're also going to check in with Libby one more time as well. It's Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All sports desk. The Brewers will look for a winning series against the Chicago Cubs today after the Cubs tied the series Saturday. The crew leads the NL Central 49-34. Still no contract for Packers QB Jordan Love. Both Love and the Packers have expressed optimism that a deal will be reached before training camp begins in late July. In the 2023 season, Love performed on a one-year extension. In the final eight games of the season, Love completed 70.2% of his passes, landing 18 touchdowns and one interception. Some Marquette Golden Eagles going pro. Oso Iguodaro was picked at number 40 in the second round of the NBA draft by the Phoenix Suns, and Tyler Kolek was drafted at 34 by the Portland Trailblazers, but was soon traded to the New York Knicks. And Franklin native and former UW Milwaukee track runner Natalie Block will compete for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Saturday night at the semifinals in Oregon, Block came in 24th place in the women's 100-meter hurdles. Finals of the competition scheduled for tonight. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
Coming up next, Libby Collins checks in with Matt Miller from Milwaukee.com. He is our media critic, and he will get us updated on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Good morning. 8:50, Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins. Your forecast from meteorologist Tyler Moore. Sunny, cool, low humidity today. 69 by the lake, 73 inland. Monday, mostly sunny, cloudy. Later in the day, a high of 73. Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, 80. Wednesday, rain chance early, then partly cloudy. High of 86, our hottest day of the week. Thursday for the 4th of July, partly cloudy, slight chance of rain, and a high of 83. 59 in Sheboygan, 61 Racine, 60 in Milwaukee. Let's check in again with Libby.
It's time to check in with Matt Miller, film critic and pop culture editor at onmilwaukee.com. And there are a lot of excited people out there right now because we're hearing from Kevin Costner. Now, it's not Yellowstone, because now apparently he's out of that. But if you want your dose of Kevin Costner, you can actually get it starting this weekend.
Yes, actually, a double dose of Kevin Costner Westerns coming to theaters this summer. There's the first one, part of his Horizon, an American saga Western epic, coming out this weekend. Three-hour-long, gigantic Western, really ambitious. So ambitious, he put $40 million of his own money into this movie. This is his kind of dream project. And it's so much that he has also made a second movie that is coming out in 2 months. And it'll be interesting to see how this does, because obviously Yellowstone, one of the biggest shows on TV, big hit there. But, you know, Westerns kind of have died off a little bit as a genre that people love in theaters. And I think he's hoping that people want to go back and see the Western But 3 hours, that's a big investment. And I know it debuted at the Cannes Film Festival and didn't get the best write-ups, but if there was an audience that I would expect wasn't exactly amped for a Western movie, honestly, the Cannes Film Festival in France is not a place I would think of that is just dying for a cowboy movie.
Well, clearly, though, Kevin Costner believes in this project. $40 million of his own money. I mean, even if you have a lot of money, that's still a lot of money.
Yeah, he's talked about this is his pet project. This is not, you know, the studio wanted to make this. This is something that he desperately wanted to get made, put a bunch of his own money in it, casted his own son in the role. He wants to make two more of these, too. So we'll see what the box office looks like this week. And I know he's hoping that Middle America shows up for this Western in the same way that Middle America is kind of what fueled Yellowstone becoming the hit that it was, and Tulsa King. And, you know, it is interesting. Westerns are doing well on TV, but do people want to see them on the big screen? Does the older audience want to show up for a movie like this anymore?
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating that he's going to do it and that it's going to be on the big screen versus television. But I would assume, especially if there's going to be four parts of this, that eventually it will make its way to some sort of streaming service.
Oh, yeah, this will definitely end up on Max. It's being distributed by Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers owns Max. So I imagine that's where all of this is going eventually at some point. You know, we'll see if this movie gets released and if it totally bombs this weekend and this summer, you know, what'll they do with parts 3 and 4 that he wants to make? Will he even make them? I know he's still, you know, in the works on trying to get those made. In this day and age where everything seems so algorithm-y and everything seems so IP-based, I like seeing a filmmaker taking a big swing like this and being like, I want to make a four-part Western epic. This is what I want to do. I want to make it. I'm going to put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. You just don't see a lot of that these days out of Hollywood, and it's nice to see, even if the movie isn't maybe the greatest.
Oh, now stop being such a pessimist. It worked out with Dances with Wolves. So
it did. Listen, yeah. Kevin Costner, he's like James Cameron. If you bet against him, prepare to lose.
All right. Another one that's probably not going to be a loser. And John Krasinski is kind of the guy behind these Quiet Place movies, and that's opening as well.
Yeah, who would have known Jim from The Office would be such a horror hound? He's actually not behind the camera on this one. This is actually, if you remember, my Nicolas Cage pig movie, Pig, from a few years ago, that is a tremendous movie. The director of that one is actually stepping into helm A Quiet Place Part 1, kind of an origin story or a day one story of what happened when the sound-hunting monsters from outer space hit Earth. It's got Lupita Nyong'o in it and the guy from Stranger Things, the punk rocker guy. And I've heard really good things about it. I've heard it's maybe not as action-packed as they're selling, that it's a little bit more thoughtful, which is kind of perfect because the movies are about, you know, people dealing with a silent apocalypse, essentially. So I imagine it will be a little bit more insightful in that regard as opposed to, you know, big bombastic explosive action. Because if there's sound-hunting monsters, I think those big explosions might catch their attention.
I'm Libby Collins here with Matt Miller from OnMilwaukee.com. And finally, Matt, there's an indie movie that you really want people to see.
It's one of the best movies I've seen this year. It's this little small movie called Ghostlight, showing at the Downer Theater right now. Movie about a construction worker who's a little lost in his life and a little emotionally reserved. And he all of a sudden stumbles upon a community theater production of Romeo and Juliet that he gets cast in. And it sounds like a fun, quirky comedy, and it is, but it'll also just absolutely destroy you emotionally. I sobbed like it was inside out watching this one. I was a mess of well-earned tears and snot. If you want a good cry, if you want a big emotional movie, a really beautiful movie, something different from the big bombastic stuff you get normally out of Hollywood, definitely check out Ghostlight at the Downer.
We certainly will. And one last thing, the internet is pretty much saying what you and I have been saying about that Top Chef finale, haven't they?
Not just the internet. Tom and Gail have even done interviews now where they're like, the editors wanted to make things look a little bit more tense between Danny and Dan, and they overshot it. They ended up making it so much that people don't understand how Danny won. And you know, you feel bad for Danny at this point that everyone feels like he shouldn't have won, even though everyone apparently there is like, nah, he probably deserved it.
Well, sometimes, you know, it's better to come in number two and be the person everybody's talking about, like Dan
Just
Jacobs.
Ask Jennifer, yeah, Jennifer Hudson, you know, famously.
Exactly.
Who won her season? Who even knows?
Hey, Matt Miller, always great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And let's go back to Dayton Kane.
Thank you, Libby. Coming up next hour, we're going to check in to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Jack Grau. And then Melanie Lopez. She is the only female veteran-owned bourbon tour company owner in Kentucky. We're going to check in with her and find out a little bit about my trip that we did with my wife and I last week. And sorry, it's a little bourbon-themed, a little Kentucky-themed today, but that's what you get. Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins. We'll be right back.
This is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News.
Kind of the man show today. Jack Grau doing news. Isaac in the producer's booth. I'm Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins on Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. So I thought we should bring in a female to help us balance things out. My wife Tracy and I went down to Kentucky. Most people go to cruise the Rhine River for their anniversary. We celebrated our 30th anniversary on the Kentucky River. And this was all my wife's doing, thankfully. And she worked with Melanie here from Bluegrass Bourbon Tours, the only female veteran-owned bourbon tour company in Kentucky. Good morning, Melanie. How are you?
Good morning. I am wonderful. How are you?
I am doing great. We had an awesome time in Louisville, and if people have never been there, they should go. I'm going to start with that. But you do a tour company down there. I want to know why you got into the bourbon tour business.
Well, first off, here at Bluegrass Bourbon Tours, I'm blessed to own and operate the only female veteran-owned bourbon tour company in Kentucky. Previously, I was in the healthcare industry for over 30 years. Then I had the opportunity to work part-time for another bourbon tour company, then realized how much I enjoyed sharing the bourbon tour experience with clients. I took a leap of faith to start my own bourbon tour company full-time, but wanted to add a better experience for my clients. Our chauffeurs are not just drivers. They're sharing Kentucky and the bourbon history, as well as a few jokes along the way. And if you want to know, yeah. So if you want to know what separates BBT from other tour companies, one of the biggest compliments we have had is that our clients have said we're kind of like a boutique style tour company. We also incorporate additional stops to other iconic distilleries as well as small craft distilleries where on your own you would never realize these hidden gems are so close. And at the end of our tours, we have a few surprises. It's all about the experience and making memories for a lifetime.
Yeah, we did a private tour one day with Mark, and we were scheduled to hit 5 distilleries. I think we ended up hitting 8 that day because he's like, oh, we're going right by this one. We're going to pop in there and see that, and it was really cool. So definitely a good place to go if you're looking for a tour, Bluegrass Bourbon Tours. But as we were doing this tour, I realized that bourbon's more than just a drink to Kentuckians. What does the actual alcohol mean to the state of Kentucky?
Well, so it brings in an estimated $9 to $10 billion into the Kentucky economy every year.
Wow.
Bourbon is not, yes. So bourbon is not necessarily meant to be drank neat or straight. Dayton, what's the best way you like to drink bourbon?
Any way, especially if it's free. How's that sound?
Well, the correct answer is any way you like it.
Yeah, yep. It's good in mixture. Like you said, it's good if you mix it. It's good just in a glass. It's good on ice. Any way you pour it.
That's right. So it crosses over into food and cocktails, such as the Old Fashioned, Mint Juleps, which is the Kentucky Derby tradition and favorite. We don't call it tourism here in Kentucky. We refer to it as bourbonism. It is often said, one of the first calls the new governor makes is to the Kentucky Distillers Association.
Sure, I
bourbon
bet.
Bourbon is one of them. Yeah. So bourbon is one of the most heavily taxed spirits in the world, approximately 7 times, and much of that revenue goes into the building of the roads and the schools. So when you're drinking, you're doing it for the kids. So drink up.
All right, I'm doing my part for the kids then. So let me ask you this. because bourbon, it hasn't always been a booming industry. There's been wars where they had to stop making bourbon to make alcohol for the wars. There's been depressions. The 80s were not good to bourbon. How did it become so popular again?
Well, part of that reason is because it was so low and so bad, it had nowhere to go but up. Yeah. Single barrel was formally introduced as Blanton's in 1984. Booker's Small Batch at Jim Beam was introduced around the same time. And then in 1999, the Kentucky Bourbon Trail was introduced and was formatted after the wine culture in Napa Valley.
Yeah, and that's really cool. There's actually maps now that take you everywhere to all the different distilleries and tell you a little bit about each one. Very awesome. Do you know how many barrels of bourbon are in racks as we speak?
In Iraq?
Racks.
Yes.
Like
yes,
that
yes,
we have. How many
yes,
barrels
in
do we
Iraq.
Have?
Yes, yes, yes. So 5 years ago, there were an estimated 4.5 million barrels being stored, one for each person in Kentucky, with a population of 4.5 million. Today, there are an estimated 13 million barrels being stored and growing.
Jeez.
That's a lot of bourbon, folks.
That is a lot of bourbon. We need to do our share and drink some of that stuff. So
that's right.
I don't know if there's moonshine or what you call it, laws anymore about bringing alcohol over borders, but I'm glad I didn't get stopped on the way back from Kentucky. Let's just leave it at that. All right, Melanie. Well,
right back with you.
I appreciate you getting up early to come on the show with us. Tell everybody how they get in touch with you again.
Okay. So our bourbon tours do not have to be solely about bourbon. We can also incorporate legendary horse farms, venues, and attractions like Churchill Downs, where the Kentucky Derby is held every year. Louisville Slugger Museum is a part of your day in the Bluegrass State. We can be reached at bbttours.com. You can reach us directly at 502-509-1095. We are also on Google, Facebook, and Instagram. And Dayton, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be on your radio show, and thank you also and Tracy for being a great part of the Bourbon Trail. We are proud to have been a part of your 30th wedding anniversary celebration.
Well, you guys treated us well. We appreciate that as well. So thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah.
Go Packers.
Go Packers. I love it. All right. Melanie Lopez from Bluegrass Bourbon Tours. It is Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News coming up. We'll get into sports with Jack Grau. Your forecast on the way. And is your TV watching you? There's more to come on WTMJ. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Going to be sunny, cool, low humidity today. Sounds nice. 69 near the lake, 73 inland. Monday, mostly sunny, clouds increasing late down to a high of 73. Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, a high of 80. Wednesday, rain chance early, then partly cloudy with a high of 86. And then 4th of July, not too bad as long as we don't get the slight chance of rain that they're predicting. Partly cloudy, 83 for Thursday. 61 in Middleton, 59 in Appleton, 62 in Milwaukee. Okay, I've brought Isaac in the producer's booth and Jack, our news guy, back into the studio to talk through this a little bit.
Hey.
Are you guys paranoid about how many cameras are in the world? I mean, you're younger, so cameras have always been everywhere, right?
Yeah, I feel like it's something that a lot of the younger generations have just grown up with, I think. But I wouldn't say it's something I'm exactly paranoid about.
No?
Yeah.
No.
Isaac?
I don't have any secrets. You can put cameras on me. I don't care.
Well, that's kind of where I'm at. But have either of you a new smart TV in the last year or two?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So your television more than likely is watching what you're watching.
Yeah.
Not on the video. No, now there's cameras now on our TVs, right? And
sure.
That's not what I'm talking about. It's not. It's called ACR. Automatic content recognition, and it's kind of like Shazam for your TV.
Sure.
Running in the background. It's taking 72,000 snapshots a minute of what you're watching. Sorry, an hour of what you're watching. And then it compares what you're watching to a database full of advertisements that it then chooses to feed you based on your preferences of television.
Hmm.
Did you know this was going on at any given minute on your television as you're watching?
See, I knew that this is the type of thing. Like, that's the idea behind, like, cookies on a computer that it's
right.
watching.
And, right.
You know, coming up with those advertisements that you see when you're, you know, looking at the internet on a computer. So it's not that far off from what we already experience, but it does make me a little bit nervous to watch Better Call Saul when I get home.
Well, actually, as I was getting ready for some of these tours, like you were just talking about,
sure.
I searched Angelique, who was the first guest we'd had on the show.
Yep.
And here in the studio now, we're getting all kinds of ads already on the server for her business down in Kentucky because I Googled her to look up some information on her. Now the same thing is happening on your television. So there are ways to turn this off. Would that be something you'd take that extra step for? Or would you just be like, you know what? Whatever, I'll get better ads if I let this thing run in the background.
I'm a horribly lazy person, so if it's easy, I'll do it. But what about you, Isaac? Are you turning them ads off? You want them watching you?
I don't know, man. My TV is so old, you can download Doodle Jump onto it.
Oh, not what? Doodle Jump.
Yeah.
What is that? How do you do that?
I apparently, at some point, they made Doodle Jump for TV. but no, I do. I have a Roku that kind of does the same thing. But they love to specifically push Roku original content.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I don't think there's a way to turn that off because it's on the Roku and it's Roku content. They're not going to make a way to turn that off, you know?
Not that part. That's probably their filler stuff that's popping up.
My question is, if you watch like a lot of The Sopranos, are you suddenly seeing a bunch of ads for, you know, Italian food or something
Italian
like
food.
That? You know, trying to go to New Jersey, something like that?
Maybe. I don't know how that works. Like, what it's comparing to, that's interesting. But the weird part is it can grab whatever's coming through your cable TV box, whatever streaming service you're on, or your game console. What you're playing video game-wise, it can monitor as well. Mm. Because it's all going through your television, and it's catching any picture that's up on your screen. Easy enough on Roku, by the way. If you go to settings, there is a privacy option, and it's called Smart TV Experience. And that's where you can go and change different settings on there, just like your phone or like early, I'm 53 years old, right? So this stuff for me gets a little complicated. Isaac said, I can't share your X feed because you're on privacy mode or something. I'm like, I have no idea. That's been that way since 2018. I have not changed anything on there since then. So I don't know what that means. But so you're saying no big deal. You're just used. We're basically being watched everywhere we go these days.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you can take those steps to try to, you know, reduce it, but I feel like there's always going to be that next thing. But yeah, it just depends on how much you want people watching you in your day-to-day life and things like that. So I don't feel like I have, you know, a lot of secrets to hide, so it doesn't exactly, it's not going to keep me awake at night, but, you know, we do our best, I suppose.
So I wonder if, like, authorities have the rights to go into this to see what you're watching?
I know there was a case a long time ago of police wanting access to an iPhone that was locked, and they asked Apple to create a Pandora's box to open the iPhone and get this evidence that they needed. So, you know, that's another conversation is like, are these tech companies willing to give over this information that it might be stored on a game console or on a TV or something like that? Another wonderful question that we have to answer in the 21st century.
And I know in the case of Apple that Jack was just talking about, they refused to do that. And that created its own whole set of issues that there were people praising Apple for that and people boycotting Apple for that. And yeah, I don't know how much other tech companies kind of took stock of the public's response to that kind of thing. But I feel like nobody likes being observed, you know?
I kind of fall under the same thing you said earlier. Like, I really have nothing to hide. I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm a pretty straight-laced guy. You know, like if somebody wants to look at my life, they're going to probably fall asleep. Like, this guy's boring.
I feel like it's probably one of those things when you know, agree to a streaming service and you click the accept terms and conditions. It's got to be something like that. Super fine print. So, you know, it's legally, you know, they're able to do that and not, you know, violate your privacy and things like that. But if you're ever thinking about reading the fine print, that's one of the reasons to do so.
I guess I'd like to know what people are thinking. 855-616-1620 is a WTMJ talk and text line. If you have an opinion, is this something that you're fine with? Are you freaked out by it? What's going on? You're right, because when you get a TV now, you have to set it up, right? Just like an iPhone or a laptop or anything. You're clicking through things. You're setting things up. You're choosing different items to put on your desktop or whatever. So you're right. There's probably something in there saying, hey, we're going to watch everything you do.
Yep.
But nobody reads that stuff. They just click through and say, yeah, I agree, I agree.
Exactly,
I agree.
The way they want it. You know,
we're going to come for your firstborn child. All right. You can have her.
Push notification.
As long as I get to watch Better Call Saul, I'm good to go. So
there you go. There you go.
All right. So I guess in general, we're saying it is what it is.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we'll see what happens.
So really the only way to be off the grid at this point is to have no credit cards, no electronics at all whatsoever. You're going to live in a cabin up north with a well. You're going to plant your own food. Like, I don't know how.
Sounds peaceful.
How people get away with anything anymore. Like, we have a story in the news today that's very evident that you can't do certain things because you're going to get found out pretty quickly. Right?
Yeah, you will.
Because everything is being tracked at any given time. That's one thing I don't like, because I go to a lot of concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I want my ticket sent to me, and I want it ripped, and you hand me back a piece of it. I'm not getting scanned. I'm not getting...
Yeah.
Because now you know every show I've ever watched, every concert I've ever gone to, every purchase I've ever made on my credit card, every hotel I've stayed at. I mean, literally, you could track my life anywhere I go, no matter what I do.
Yeah. It is. And, you know, there's the advertisements that you have these products to be more safe. I remember there was an Apple Watch ad a couple years ago saying, you know, if you have an emergency or something like that, it's easier to reach out to people that you need to, you know, call 911 or call a loved one and let them know what's going on. And it's that give and take of letting people have more access to your day-to-day life.
Yeah. And unfortunately, there's no going back. Like I said, unless you just bury yourself in a cave out in the middle of Nebraska, you're going to be tracked in one way, shape, or form.
So, yeah, I think so.
I don't want to know what Isaac got going on in his feed. I don't want to know what you have going on in your feed. So the people that are doing this, it's all about dollars, right? They're just trying to figure out what... I kind of like it when you don't get fed what they think you want to feed. How do you ever find anything new? Like, if you're only getting fed what you're looking at to begin with, how do I know there's something else out there that I would like to go do, but I don't see it? Because now Angelique, the ghost medium that's doing my tours in Kentucky, is all that's popping up in my feed. Well, I've already done that. I don't need to see her anymore because we've done that. So it kind of, to me, becomes myopic, and you start feeding yourself what you think you want to see instead of what might be out there to explore and go do. So... lots of things to think about when we're going through all this.
Oh, yeah. Just like I said, the 21st century, it's a fun place.
All right. Coming up this hour, speaking of all that, Internet Safety Month. This is the last day. We're going to get to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection side with some tips on that. Right now, though, we are going to go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center with Jack Grau and get updated on that. Good morning again, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Long time no see. How's it going?
620 WTMJ, Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News. I'm Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins, but she's always around. It is the last day of Internet Safety Month, so let's check in with Libby one last time in the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection with some useful tips.
Well, June is Internet Safety Month, and it is essential to our daily lives, but it can also change your life, and not in a good way. Joining us on our Tri-County Contracting Hotline is Michelle Reinen. And Michelle, you see this every single day at your offices at DATCAP.
Absolutely. And you hear us talk about it all the time, but we can all use a refresher course on Internet safety, and we can all shore up our bad habits as well. And remember some things so we are as safe as possible. And we're taking this June Internet Safety Month to do that. We want you to remember the latest tips on how to keep yourself safe and your privacy protected, because it's so important in our everyday lives. And one of the first steps is remembering there are a gazillion imposter websites out there. Scammers create these copycat websites that look nearly identical to real company sales platforms because they're finding them to be successful in obtaining your personal information, including that credit card number, and in many cases, your login information to those copycatted websites like an Amazon or a Walmart.
So what are some of the other things that we need to be aware of in order not to get taken advantage of?
Social media privacy. Something as simple as a photo of your home or apartment building can be enough to identify your location. A post about an upcoming vacation can indicate an opportunity opportunity to steal from you because they know you're going to be gone and now they know where you live. Or a video of you speaking can be used to copy your voice using artificial intelligence, and that can be used to convince a family member that you are in need of help and have money wired. So try and keep your social media privacy intact. Know who you are giving access to, and don't post everything in your profile, especially if that is public. And then remember that there are account takeovers. Email and social media accounts can be taken over by scammers and used to trick other people into it in that individual's network. So the process usually starts with a phishing scam, and so don't click on those links from those emails because they're trying to get at your information through those phishing scams where they will then take over your account and can impact all your friends and family in your profile.
So let me get this straight. If you click on to one of those links, that could sometimes open the door where these scammers can just immediately get into your account?
They're going to get your information to get into your account. So if you click that link and now engage in that information, that is one way that they can get it. Now, the other way is if it is malware behind that link. And so now they have access to your computer and can be logging all your information. So those phishing attacks are incredibly dangerous, and we need people to recognize them and not click on them or even try and hover over them and try and outsmart them. Just delete those phishing attacks.
All right. And then as far as passwords are concerned, how important is it to have those really secure?
Oh, it's so important because you don't want scammers to gain access to one of your accounts, because often that means they're going to gain access to multiple accounts because we're probably all guilty of using the same password on at least two different accounts, and that gives them access to that information. So use different passwords for all your online accounts. Passwords should be long and memorable to you, but difficult to guess. And really, if that's hard for you, use a password manager program to assist you. But more than a password, try and use a passphrase, something long and complicated, and add that deadbolt to your front door, if you will, by using two-factor authentication to make it even more difficult for these scammers to gain access to your information, because you will have your password and you will need that other token from that two-factor authentication in order to gain access to your account.
And Michelle, if you've got questions about how to protect yourself in terms of internet security, or if you have a report of a scam, who do we call?
Please call the Consumer Protection Hotline at 1-800-422-7128.
9:43, welcome to Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, a Sunday edition. Dayton Kane in for Libby Collins. Going to be sunny, cool, low humidity today. Perfect. 69 near the lake, 73 inland. Tonight, mostly clear, isolated patchy fog down to 55. Monday, sunny. Clouds increase late in the day tomorrow, a high of 73. Tuesday, scattered showers and storms, a high of 80. Wednesday, rain chance early, then partly cloudy, humid, 86 for a high. Thursday for the 4th of July, partly cloudy. We're going to call it a slight chance of rain. Don't let that deter your plans, at least not at this point. High of 83 for the 4th of July. 60 in Menominee Falls, 62 in Cudahy, 62 in Milwaukee. And were you in scouting? If so, how many merit badges did you earn? 5, 10, 30? Imagine earning every badge offered by the Boy Scouts. Libby Collins talked with 16-year-old Ivan Bunier about earning all 139 merit badges.
You mentioned about your aviation badge, and that was the final badge that you achieved.
Yes.
Not most 16-year-olds are going to become proficient in flying. How did this interest come about for you, and what did you do to get that badge?
My dad is an airline pilot. You know, he took me up in a Cessna to earn that final badge. It was really a great experience to end off this whole goal on. We went up in the sky around Burlington, flew around. He taught me basics of flying a plane. It was a really great time.
Did you actually fly it? Did he let you take your hand on the wheel? What was the experience like for you?
It's like any other badge that really I wouldn't have done otherwise. Scuba diving, water sports, aviation, all these like invigorating things that I never would have done.
Catch Libby and Conversations at 11 o'clock later today. Coming up next, check out that sports update with Jack Growl. We'll get your forecast in again. And Everyday Hero with Eric Bilstad on the way. It's Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News on WTMJ.
Time for a WTMJ sports update from the Gruber Law Offices. One Call That's All Sports Desk. The Brewers will look for a winning series against the Chicago Cubs today after the Cubs tied the series Saturday. The crew leads the NL Central 49-34. Still no contract for Packers QB Jordan Love. Both Love and the Packers have expressed optimism that a deal will be reached before training camp begins in late July. In the 2023 season, Love performed on a one-year extension. In the final eight games of the season, Love completed 70.2% of his passes, landing 18 touchdowns and one interception. Some Marquette Golden Eagles going pro. Oso Iguodaro was picked at number 40 in the second round of the NBA draft by the Phoenix Suns, and Tyler Kolek was drafted at 34 by the Portland Trail Blazers, but was soon traded to the New York Knicks. And Franklin native and former UW Milwaukee track runner Natalie Block will compete for a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Saturday night at the semifinals in Oregon, Block came in 24th place in the women's 100-meter hurdles. Finals of the competition scheduled for tonight. I'm Jack Grau, WTMJ Sports.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton Kane filling in for Libby Collins on WTMJ. It's 9:50, going to be sunny, cool, low humidity today, a high of 69 at the lake, 73 inland. And 4th of July, we're going to skip ahead to that. Partly cloudy, slight chance of rain, and a high of 83. So as long as the rain holds off, should be a good holiday. It's 60 in Janesville, 59 in Hartford, 62 in Milwaukee. It's time to celebrate an everyday hero. Here's WTMJ's Eric Bilstad.
An everyday hero is what Wisconsin's Morning News defines as an average John or Jane Doe who had no idea when they got up one morning that they'd be saving a life. Today we head to San Diego. Mission Valley Mall, in the parking lot of the mall, is an inflatable amusement park. You pay a few bucks and your kids can jump on a bunch of large inflatable slides, obstacle courses, etc. Well, worker Jasmine tells NBC7 in San Diego that she was busy checking some kids in. She was selling the tickets. Some of them were younger girls when a guy shows up in a car.
And this car pulls up and I'm maybe thinking that's their dad, maybe going to pay or something real quick. And he comes and gets off the car, grabs the littlest one, picks her up and walks away with her.
Jasmine says he started carrying her to his running vehicle. And at that moment, she felt that something wasn't right. Kim Miller is her supervisor.
She bolted from her chair and said, kid, didn't finish the rest. I don't know if she was saying kidnapping or kid hurt or whatever. And so she's running out the door.
Jasmine grabs the child, asks if she knows the man. The child says no. Well, that man has now been identified and arrested by San Diego PD. In fact, NBC7 says he faces two felony kidnapping charges now, not only for this incident, but for another one a couple of days earlier.
Honestly, I think about it every day on what could have happened if I wasn't there, if I wasn't the one to go after her, or if I just sat there and looked at her get kidnapped.
Thank you, Jasmine, for being an everyday hero, and I think her manager, Kim, said it best.
There's a stranger right next to you that might save your child's life. Ours did.
Everyday Hero, sponsored by Azura Memory Care and Assisted Living, transforming the culture of care. Eric Bilstad, WTMJ News.
Thank you, Eric. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News, Dayton here. We're going to wrap it up with just a few things that are trending right now. Interesting stories out there with Costco. I don't know if, Isaac, you go to Costco ever to get their chickens. One of their most popular things that they have there is a rotisserie chicken, right?
I have not. I'm not really a chicken guy.
No?
I don't know.
You do the $1.50 hot dog?
Sometimes.
It's been $1.50 since like 1982 or something like that. They've kept that price, and they said they'll never change that price.
Oh,
that's staying. The rotisserie chickens have been $4.99 forever, so I don't know if they're ever going to change either. Kind of one of their lost leaders that they bring people in with so that you'll come and shop and spend more money. But they did make a change recently, and people are not happy with what's going on. So used to come in that like hard plastic clam shell, had the dish on the bottom with the clear top on it. They're switched over to bags now, so it's a bagged chicken, comes in a bag, and people are complaining. Well, first of all, nobody likes change. This started back in March. It's been rolling out to different stores. I haven't been to Costco. I guess I was just there, but I didn't look at the chickens because we don't usually get them, so I don't know if we're still in the clamshell mode here in Wisconsin or if we're into the bags, if anybody knows. 855-616-1620 if you know, if you bought a chicken at Costco lately. But basically, it's now in a bag. It's harder to see the actual chicken, so you can't pick out the nicest chicken that you want to get. And people are complaining that it's leaking. So they get home and their trunk or the back of their SUV's got chicken juice all over it.
That's exactly
and
what you want.
That is not going over well with people. So now there's a big push to get the clamshell back around the chicken at Walmart. So I guess I'll have to look next time I go and see if that's going on in our area.
Rotisserie chicken does not come in a bag. It is not supposed to.
It should not, but it is at this point at a bunch of Costco's out there. Another thing going on, which I guess I never thought of this, when you think of people shoplifting, what are some items that you would first come to mind?
Small things like gum. If it's, you know, a larger item, maybe like a six-pack of beer. But
oh, yeah, nothing, stealing the beer.
Nothing crazy.
So the most stolen retail products, branded denim jeans. People must put them on under their sweatpants and walk out, or I don't know how they're doing that. Handbags, designer shoes, Olay skincare, Apple products. So I have good luck getting out of an Apple store with something in your pocket. I don't know how you do that, but people are doing that. One of the big things that's happening right now, and big like rings going in and stealing, Legos. Legos, because they go anywhere from $100 to $1,000 for a set right now. Who buys a $1,000 set of Legos? That's insane.
I've considered it.
But the reason people are stealing them is because the price holds. Whether it's, if it's new in the box, you can get retail basically for them on the streets. People are willing to pay them, especially if it's like a limited set that you can't get unless you are lucky to find it. But even if you open it, they're getting 50% to 80% return on Lego sets if it's an open box. So people are going out and stealing boxes of Legos in mass quantities. So
I won't name any names to protect the people involved, but I once knew a guy who would go into a store that had Legos in it. He would open the box and take the bags of the Legos out and put those in his pockets and then go home and just find the instructions for the set online.
So he was a Lego nerd doing it because he wanted to put together the Legos.
Yes.
Not because he was trying to sell them off to somebody else.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to resell them or anything.
If you don't have the box and you don't have the original paperwork and all that, it's probably not as valuable as just the pieces that are in there. So interesting. So he's like, I'm getting my Legos for free.
Exactly.
All right, don't steal stuff, people. Don't steal stuff. All right, we're going to wrap this up, but don't forget Brewers first pitch 1:10 this afternoon. It is Sunday fun day at the stadium versus the Cubs. So good luck getting tickets. It's hard to get Cubs tickets, Brewers Cubs tickets at AmFam Field, but if you can, 4 Terrace outfield tickets, 4 junior hot dogs, 4 junior sodas, 1 general parking pass for just $62. So that's a deal to get the family at a reasonable price to the ballpark. Isaac, thank you so much. Did a great job. I hope I filled in well for Libby Collins. She will be back next week on Wisconsin's Morning News. Thank you for listening to WTMJ. Brian and David Wickert and Tim Holdman of the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show, right after the news coming up on the AccuNet Mortgage and Realty Show.